As much as things change, you can always count on one thing. Real estate never stands still. This is your inside track to all things realty. From the latest market trends, tips and insights for whether you're buying or selling, and stories from the industry's leading experts that you can take with you on your real estate journey. You are listening to The Reality of Realty with Kristen Malfer.
Hi, everyone. It's Kristen Malfer. This is The Reality of Realty. And today I'm super excited to introduce Tim Scurlock. He's one of our lending partners. Welcome, Tim. He's with Origin Point Mortgage.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about, I know the biggest deal and everybody's so tired of hearing about, are the rates up or the rates down and what does it look like for spring? And so I want to get some ideas and just visit with you and we'll just talk candidly and would love insight on, we're still, of course, low on inventory. There's all kinds of topics we could cover, but tell me what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to get into it. It's no question that interest rate weighs heavily on everybody's mind during these decisions, but we're definitely seeing rates move in the right direction. Coming off of last year, we saw the 30-year interest rate go and touch 8% in October, right, which was no good. But so far this year, we've seen things really become a little more steady and a little more stable. So we do have some direction from the Federal Reserve. They have they've come out and said that they'd like to cut rates, right? So we don't know how many times that's going to happen. They could be three times, or it could be two times.
Could be June, could be July,
right? We just don't know. We'll know when they're going to cut rates right before they do it, right?
Well, so, and then everybody's sitting around, and we've talked, if you wait for the rates to go down, then what does the inventory look like? And if we're low on inventory now, and you find the home of your dreams, and you want to buy it, but you know, some hesitation for interest rates. But, you know, it's like everybody can talk about, well, just go ahead and close on that and then you can refinance later and we can talk about that. Or, you know, it's more on, I guess, let's say we find the home of our dreams and because we've got to pay over, let's call it $400,000. And the buyer says, okay, I want it. I'm going to go ahead and do this. But now there's multiple offers, so they've got to pay over asking. And then they say, well, what does that really do to me? What's that going to cost? So I'm gonna pay $10,000 over, so $410,000.
Yeah, I think the natural emotional response for somebody when they hear that, oh my gosh, you know, this house is going $10,000 over ask. If somebody's willing to go $10,000 over, then they can have it, right? Yeah. But what we want to do is we want to educate them on the numbers. And we always say, you know, hey, it's really super important to know your numbers. So if we can show them that getting into a home and having to go over like 410, so we go $10,000 over on the $400,000 purchase, we break that down to them and we say, if that equals a increase in your monthly payment of just say $65 a month, is it worth losing the house over $65 a month?
Right.
So really help them wrap their head around the idea that in this particular current market environment, they may have to go over, but what does that look like? How does that feel?
What's the actual pain point of if that's, you know, whether that's you or whatever financial advisor they have out there, if they know the true numbers of, okay, that's really, I'm not discounting $75,000 or $75 a month, but if that is, okay, so you don't go out to dinner once that month, or do you lose the house of your dreams? But is that, you're ready to prepare and show them what their numbers really look like.
Yeah, huge part of the process, right? And we ask a lot of questions during the pre-approval process, lots of discovery, and find out where they're going to be comfortable with. And then when they know those numbers, it helps them that they can go out and make a more confident, strong offer, knowing that they might have to go over in order to win the house of their dreams.
And sometimes knowing that ahead of time is a great thing too, so that when, because everything's timing and getting the house that they want. But I feel, yeah, I think I love it that they could just pick up the phone and call you and then you know. But if you know from the beginning, you can kind of spell it out of here's 10 over, here's 20 over. And hopefully they don't have to do that. But if they did, you'd be willing
to. Yeah, no question. It's a huge part of the process for getting buyers prepared to enter this competitive market environment for sure.
Right. And it's interesting times, of course. So we kind of, you are one of our preferred lenders and you can see it from a firsthand. So Katie on our team is, you happen to be married to, so you guys can live this together. So you know what we go through as realtors, in which I love, you know, the whole process. So you see it as they make an offer, you see it as they close, and it's kind of this wave, but you're able to share and live our pain, I guess I should say.
Oh my gosh. It gives me an interesting perspective, right? As a loan officer who knows exactly what goes on from contract to close and what it is that the buyer's agent goes through, for sure, right? I always like to say that the buyer's agent, you guys do so much for your clients, right? You're psychiatrists and psychologists and my gosh, you're the electrician, you know, sometimes the carpenter. They ask you so many questions and you do so much that it really does offer me a chance to gain some nuggets to understand what that buyer is going to go through during the process so that I can prepare them and we can have open conversations during our pre-approval initial buyer consultations and just really help tailor the experience for them, understanding that it's going to be a process.
Right. I mean, and it is. It's such a process. And it's not just, you know, I mean, that we walk them in the house, they decide they're going to buy it, and then they get the loan, and then it's all that. You know, there's just all the million steps. But it comforts me for you to know that, like, you've lived the other side. Without having to be the realtor, you are directly related to one, which is awesome. But tell us some of the things that you've kind of learned or I guess nuggets or takeaways that from watching the process and things that not only you could offer, but give me some ideas of what we should know as realtors of guiding our clients with a purchase of doing different formats or tell me a little bit about something that would help us guide the clients also through the lending side.
Yeah, for sure. I think the most important thing is obviously encourage them to talk to the mortgage professional before they start their home shopping experience. So get them in first, allow them to understand what their numbers are. You know, again, know your numbers. So many people think about the pre-approval process and they think, oh gosh, I've got to dig up my pay stubs. I've got to dig up my asset statements, my bank statements. Holy cow, there's so much to do.
But if we don't have that, you know,
it's a big part of the puzzle for sure.
Right. Yeah. And that you certainly in today, we would lose out if somebody else has the pre-approval and they're all buttoned up, ready to go. And if we can say, okay, just, you know, make sure that you have this in hand, and it doesn't really take giving your firstborn child to get this pre-approval letter.
Oh, so. Yeah. Things have changed. You know, the mortgage industry has really evolved and that things are super digital now. We're able to get verifications of employment, income verifications, kind of same day. So we are able to move a lot faster and require a lot less from that borrower up front. But like you said, it's an important step. It's a big piece of the puzzle. I think another big piece of the pre-approval process is that at this point, they've now got the confidence, right, that they can go out and they can make offers, strong competitive offers, because they know that they may need to go over ask. So we educate them on tools that we have, bid over ask tools. If it's a first-time home buyer, we're going to show them a rent versus own analysis so that they can wrap their head around those numbers. And, you know, again, just be super prepared. Know your numbers before you go out and get in the car with you. Or I guess they don't get in the car anymore. They follow you.
It really depends. But yeah, I mean, now you brought up a great point about renting. My daughter recently, she had a roommate and they were going to go and rent. And they looked at houses, they looked at apartments. And we were flabbergasted and blown away at what the rental number was and what they were going to have to pay. And I thought, this is crazy. Why wouldn't we just buy the house, let them rent from us, and have an asset that, let's say we, you know, it gives them a far better place to live, a little more space and whatnot. So we decided to do that. And then, you know, through visiting with you, it was helpful to know that, okay, so at a later date that we want to, you know, put that in Savannah's name, that we could then roll the mortgage and do that with Savannah versus it being, you know, on us. But it saved her from going and being in an apartment for the same amount of money.
Yeah. What a phenomenal way for her to have an end game, right? Knowing that there is going to be an opportunity down the road to refinance it, put it into her name. She's already paying you guys rent, so she's used to making the payment. And then we can talk about that forced savings plan that we refer to when you're buying into or paying into your home, so you're paying your equity down.
Which is so nice that it's not just rent money that you're just throwing to the wind.
Yeah. So combine that with appreciation, and then that's really building that equity and building that forced savings plan that's just so important for buyers, especially young buyers as they're getting started.
Yeah, and talking about equity too, so back to the point of whether do I wait, do I buy now? But if you wait, what is the value of the house if you wait? And then, okay, forget the rate for a minute, but really, if you were to go ahead and buy now and then refinance later, let's talk through that. Like, mm-hmm. I know that you, and for those who are listening, if you're wanting to know what does that look like, you showed us a form that was very interesting to me, and we could certainly send that out. But it showed, like, if I buy now at this rate, mm-hmm. but then over a period of time with inflation, but yet then now I've got equity, and it was a really great chart. I don't know if you want to, we don't have to dive too deep into it now, but.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's a chart or a tool that I use pretty much every day. We call it the bid over ask tool. So using that $400,000 example, if we've got to go 410 to get it, when am I going to break even, or when am I going right. to realize that I went over ask for that, right? So we can plug in the 400, plug in that we went 410 to get it, and then put in the county. So let's say Johnson County, and then put in a very conservative rate of appreciation, call it 3%, right? So put those into the tool, and it'll tell us the what month that we're going to realize that value. So I think in that particular instance we talked about, it was like 14.3 months.
Right.
Right. So then that becomes the question, is this going to be worth it? When's it going to be worth it? And then, oh, by the way, in 14.3 months, you're probably going to have maybe, you know, hopefully it might be a little bit longer than that, but an opportunity to refinance.
Right.
So we can take advantage of getting in so long as we can handle the little bit of the higher monthly payment yep. with these current rates. But we know what our end game looks like, and we've spelled that out, right? So again, we know our numbers. We've got a plan to go after this house at 400, and then we've got an end game that we know because we had to go a little bit over to get it.
Right.
But it's in 14 months, it will be patting ourselves on the back that we went ahead and did that at that time.
Yeah,
and
I feel like people who are, I mean, we're all financially looking at it, but who are more diligent about it, the guilt goes away for paying a little bit more, but yet getting the house that they want. So yeah. It was a really cool form.
Yeah, getting the house is, you know, that's really the key, right? We get the house. And we realize the forced savings plan, we realize our break-even point, we realize the return on the investment using some very conservative appreciation numbers.
Yep.
We're able to wrap our head around this idea that we've got to go out and get into this competitive market. So makes it a little bit easier for folks to understand that. And then really, they're now they're confident, right?
Yep.
So they can go after it, enter the market, and get the house.
What else can we talk about? Let's see, we've kind of, we'll talk about little different things, but to me, it's these buyers who are afraid to buy, or if they do, what does it look like? We've gotten that covered, mm-hmm. but what else could be something that is, we talked about forced savings plan. I just feel like having an asset, so a home that you can even, you know, buying it at a little elevated price, but you're still, it's a tangible asset versus renting. But what other, whether it be mortgage or what do you see?
Yeah, you know what I love right now, and I'm really proud. We talked to a lot of first time homeowners, like right Savannah, right? We use that example. Let's say Savannah, and she lives in this house for 2 or 3 years, and she's advanced in her career, and now she wants to move up, right? She wants a bigger place. She wants a different backyard. She wants all these things. If she's able to then retain that first house that she bought, turn that into a rental, right, an investment property, and allow somebody else to pay for that mortgage. If she's able to do it, then my gosh, that's like next level, right?
Right.
So now she's investing, she's moved on, she's creating even more equity because somebody's paying for that first house mortgage.
Right.
And just really proud about how most all the first-time home buyers, they get that, right? They understand the benefit of homeownership. And I can tell you for right now, at that age, at 28, 29, 30 years old, I was definitely not thinking that way. But most all the first-time home buyers are. And so that's a really neat thing and something that I'm super proud about to talk to them about.
Yeah, I feel like, too, it's you're more of a counselor. And I feel like we more, instead of, again, being real estate agents, we want to be their advisor, mm-hmm. where it's you want them to be proud of owning something versus, you know, it's to make it go back to, like, the American dream of owning
yeah.
a home. And I love that, so that, like, you know, they feel like they're a part of something. And I feel like if they own it versus paying rent, they take a little better care of it
right.
as well. Like, oh, this is mine. And versus, you know, when people rent, they just never treat it as if it's if it's owned. But well, I feel like, you know, there's lots of, I don't know, people are talking about buying down rates, and I certainly don't want to flood listeners with more information,
mm-hmm.
but is there anything else that is a hot button that you feel mm-hmm. like we should chat about?
You know, we talk about, let's talk about that. Let's talk about buying down rate just real simply. I would say if there's any advice that I could give buyers right now who are obviously they're concerned about rate, they're concerned about affordability, as they should be. But let's say you found a house that's been on the market for, let's say, 10 to 14 days. Maybe think about structuring that offer where you go in and you ask for the seller to give you a credit back to you that you can use to temporarily or even permanently buy down that rate. If that house has been on the market for a while, they might be more susceptible to accepting an offer, so long as you're coming in at the right purchase price.
So let's say that that's listed, let's call it the 400, but you want to go in for 415 or something. You know, so obviously this is like not my lingo, completely yours, but if I'm representing a buyer and I'm going to say to them, okay, you know what, we could go in and offer a little bit more to ask the seller to buy down a rate or point, or would you give us then like the talking point so that we can explain to the seller what we want, what we're asking, so that we know how to present that?
Yeah, for sure. We would definitely strategize about it. Definitely at offer so that we're all on the same page. We like to do things like reaching out to the listing agent. You know, that's one of my favorite calls to make. I'll reach out and we'll tout the pre-approval of our client and we'll tell them that they're fully pre-approved and no surprises, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll also explain to them that here's what you're about to receive. It's a 410 offer and we're asking for a $10,000 credit that the buyer can use to buy down their interest rate because that's their hot button, right? They're super sensitive about rate and payment, but gosh, they love the house. So that's what we're doing when you see this offer come over. This is how we structured it.
So if that happens, again, obviously I would come to you first and say, okay, what does it look like for them to buy down? What should we be offering? Is that something I can call you and say, come on, Tim, tell me what I need. And then we'd explain it to the buyer and then the seller and the seller's agent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're always talking about that. We're doing it after hours. We're doing it on weekends. That's when real estate happens. You need to know exactly what to ask for.
Right.
And then you need to know how to structure it. We need to make sure that you don't ask for too much, ask for too little. Let's find the sweet spot. Let's play the scenario out a little bit so that we can present a really good offer in case they counter us back and we've still got enough left over to buy that rate down. So I think especially now more than ever, it's very important to work with your mortgage advisor at offer. It's a team, right? It's a team effort.
Be creative.
Be creative. Structure deals creatively. But then most importantly, communicate them. Be crystal clear about what you're doing. And go after it. Like, we play to win, right?
So, well, and I do love it that you call. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that. For me to get a call from a lender, I can get a letter. That's great. I can even call sometimes when I get a letter. Let's say I'm representing the seller and I get this pre-approval letter. But then for you to reach out, like when you've reached out and said, hey, I want to let you know, here's where we are in the process, but these people are crystal clear.
Yeah.
Or they're golden. That's amazing because then it's not just me conveying that. They're hearing it strictly from you. And, you don't only do it just in the beginning. I like the follow-up call because then I know where we are in the process. There's a lot of times where I'm representing a seller and I'm like, I don't know. I haven't heard from the lender. I don't know when that's happening. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's great. We tell our buyers too, like, listen, the goal is to win. We're going to play to win and we want your offer to rise to the top. How can we do that? All things being equal, meaning if you're not the highest price and we're going up against somebody else, and maybe there wasn't much communication or you're not really sure what the verbiage on the pre-approval letter reads, we want the seller to understand that so that they can go present that, or the listing agent, so that they can present that to their seller.
Right.
And sellers love that, right? Because no surprises, great communication. I think we should probably accept this offer.
Yeah, I think in the past too, it was that you really shouldn't reach out to the lender and you really shouldn't, but there's just so much going around and that's where we take that extra step. And if their lender doesn't call, we call them, but it's nice that you're proactive with that as well. But well, I really do. I appreciate all that you have shared and everything you have to offer. If there's anything else, but other than that, I look forward to our next podcast together.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's been great.
Let's have a busy spring.
Oh yes. Amen.
Let's do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Reality of Realty with Kristen Malfer. If you have any questions or topics you would like our experts to address in a future podcast, be sure to either DM us on Instagram at Malfer Associates or email us at homes@malferkc.com.